Let's move on to representative rugby. Let's talk about county rugby. Presumably when you were at Percy Park, you played for Northumberland.
Yes,
didn't you?
Yeah. And I continued playing whilst I was doing national, I did national service. And when I went to Exeter, I still played for Northumberland because it was an opportunity. They paid my travelling expenses, so I used to get on a train on a Thursday night on a sleeper and arrive on a Friday morning, so I got an extra day to see my parents and friends and so forth, you know. That takes me back.
Yeah. Any highlights that stick in the mind from your Northumberland days?
Oh, yeah. Well, we had some characters. There was a Fenwick Allison who played fullback for England. And Fenwick, in the trial, maybe the selectors realised I wasn't too bad a player. And they thought they would put Fenwick somewhere else. So Fenwick went to outside half and I played fullback. And I think I was only 17 when I played for Northumberland the first time. So that was one thing. The other one was Keith Richardson, who was a policeman in Newcastle. And what a character he was, you know, he was full of fun and so forth at Carl School's drinks and God knows what. In those days, we didn't go by coach anywhere. If Northumberland were playing Lancashire or Cheshire, we went by train to Manchester and changed there, you know, and things like that. Oh, that was a step up. You realised that county rugby in those days was certainly quite a step up because, you know, if you played Yorkshire, they had Ricky Wynn, who played for Northampton in England, Jeff Butterfield, who played for Northampton in England, Peter Thompson, I think he played for Northampton in England. Oh, they had a hell of a side, you know. Oh, and you learned an awful lot from watching them, from fullback, you know. And you realised that it was a quicker game, it was more intensive, and so your positional play was even more fundamental. You couldn't afford to sort of be a yard out of position because you'd had it.
And did you switch to Gloucestershire as soon as you came to Gloucester?
Yes, I thought, well, we've had a good ride there. Let's join Gloucestershire. And it was George Wright was the secretary, and Ted Parford was the coach. Ted was at Lydney Grammar School, where my wife went. So she knew Ted Parford.
I saw your debut match for Gloucestershire as well.
Did you?
Down in Exeter, yes.
Oh, good Lord.
Yeah. 37-0.
Oh.
Yeah.
Ooh, tell me about it.
I remember that match because of Peter Forward.
Ah.
It was a match in which he had a bad scalp wound, and he says he still bears the scar, apparently. And he came back on. Gloucester were doing so well, and Peter was having a rampaging game, and he couldn't wait to get back on again. He came back on absolutely swathed in bandages.
Yeah.
A typical Peter, yeah.
Of course, Exeter in those days would have been the old ground.
The old ground, the county
station,
ground, yeah.
The county ground, yeah.
Yeah, by the station.
Yeah. Well, of course, I got to know it a bit more when I was down at St Luke's, but these games, it's sometimes you get a glimpse of what was happening, but your memory plays tricks with you, I'm sure of it, and remembering exactly what. I remember at that time, I think it was at Exeter, and whether it was that match or a trial or what, but John Reason, late John Reason of the Telegraph,
yes,
rugby correspondent, he said I picked and pecked my way across the pitch. That was his description of me, and I thought, good God,
he was never a great fan of Gloucester, was he?
Apart from
John Bayliss, he always had a lot of time for John Bayliss for some reason.
Well, he saw the strength in John Bayliss.
Yeah.
God, what a. Yeah. Mad stuff. Ooh, you're glad he was on your side, not on the other side.
Yeah, and you came back for England that season, of course, too. I saw the first England trial.
Ah,
yeah, down in Weston-super-Mare on a horrible, wet, bleak day.
Oh, God, I mean, we had trials all over the place in those days. I remember going down to Penzance one year. I don't think I played. I think I was reserve.
Mm.
Somewhere in the Midlands is a small club. I've got a photograph of. I can't remember it now. Terrible. I'm in the photograph, so I obviously played in the trial.
It was one at Banbury.
Banbury.
Yeah, it was it. Banbury, was it? Yeah.
Yes, it was.
Yeah, I think Dick Smith played in that too.
Ah,
yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
And I remember before I got capped, I was always on the wrong side. It was whites versus colours. I was colours. Problems was possible. I was possibles. England was the rest. I was the rest. You know. And you, much to my surprise, I got picked. and they brought in. That's a story now. The outside half was going to be Bev Risman, brilliant player, played for Lancashire, sidestepper, son of, or grandfather of, or whatever, Chris Risman, famous rugby league player. But he cried off, and of course we didn't meet till Thursday, so on Friday we were told by the selectors, he's off. And they brought in a guy called Richard Sharp. And I couldn't tell you what he looked like, who he played for, and I never heard of him. Because playing for Northumberland, up in the Northern Group, you never met anybody from the South. And he was brilliant. He made a nonsense of the Welsh back row, which was Hayden Morgan and Alan Pask, who had been on a successful Lions tour in 59, I think. So, you know, very life-changing.
Well, I guess in your first England international, you would have appeared in the programme as Percy Park, yes. RAF and Northumberland,
wouldn't you? Yes, that's right, I did, yeah.
Tell us about that first international.
Well, I've told this to other players, boys in particular. I said, you know, one of the things about when you step on, because in those days there was two steps up onto the pitch at Twickenham, you know, there was the ringside seats, it was old ground of 72,000, 20-odd thousand in the South End standing. But the pitch, with the crowd there, the pitch, instead of being that size, suddenly appeared to be that size. And I remember in that particular game, England versus, well, I think it was England Wales, anyhow, Dickie Jeep said he there was a penalty. I saw a white line, I thought, oh, 25. And he said, he was lip reading, do you want to kick a goal? And I said, yeah. And I was putting the ball down. I thought, bloody hell, I'm in my own half. And the ball just dropped short. I must say it was a reasonable kick. So I didn't feel all that embarrassed. But I was embarrassed that I'd made a misjudgment. Yeah. But that taught me something. The ground, a ground of 70,000, from being that size, goes to that size. And a lot of players find that quite intimidating. So you've got to get used to, a crowd makes a hell of a difference. Not only sound-wise, but visually. I don't know what it's like playing at Gloucester now with these stands. You're probably they're used to it, but it does make the ground much smaller. So that was something which I learned from a very first cap. I thought, bloody hell, and Richard Sharp was brilliant. When I kicked goals in that one, I kicked one of those days, you know, I couldn't have missed if I tried. And we won. We beat Wales, so I thought, oh, that's easy.
What age were you then, Don?
22. Yeah.
And did you hear the crowd much?
I could always pick my father out. When you faced the stand for the national anthems, my father would go, and I don't know why, but I could, oh, he's up in that row there, and I could see him. but you. The crowd was generally just a solid wall of noise. It was not individuals. Once the match started, that was it. You were concentrating. And I remember the first match seemed to be about 10 minutes each way because I was concentrating so much, the game just disappeared. I remember playing in a trial against, there's another incident, John Young, who played in the same England team at the time, but I played in trials probably in this England versus the rest. When he got the ball, he was an international sprinter. And he was so quick, he was unbelievable. And I always took my position of player further across the field. Because if they were going to move the ball to the left wing with John Young, I knew unless I was level, more or less level with him, I'd had it. Because he would beat anybody for sheer pace. And I don't know. I learned that myself. That's a part of the game as it was. Nobody was going to tell you, oh, you better stand because you're playing against John Young. Yeah. You just discovered it for yourself.
Any other particular moments stick in your memory from your England career?
On the pitch or off the pitch?
Either.
Yes, I remember in Owen Framaster, France. We were playing France. I think we drew 3-3, because that first season we shared the championship and we won the Triple Crown. But the selectors were all Sir in those days. You know, it was different era. And Carson Catchyside was the chairman of selectors. And we were in this hotel, Letitia, having a reception, you know, sitting down, having a meal. And there was a three-piece band. And I can still remember the woman playing C'est Bon. Is this all right? She was playing, and the other two disappeared. And I thought, well, that's odd. And he got up, Carson Catchyside, and he walked to the stage where this woman was playing C'est Bon, and he did a striptease. And he had two napkins to cover his various parts. And I thought, bloody hell, chairman of the selectors doing this. This is unbelievable. He's dead, unfortunately, now. But so I can probably tell it. But that was some experience. That was. Oh, dear. Especially when you're so used to calling them sir, you know, because you thought, well, you might get dropped next time. Yeah. In those days, you'd hear it on the news, the radio. That's when I... I got dropped after the South Africa the year after, and you heard it on the wireless. Yeah. 1 o'clock news, there's been 3 changes in the England team. And you thought, oh, bugger. and then you heard. And for Rutherford, they've taken Rutherford out and they've brought in the Leicester fullback, and he had 1 cap, and I was bloody irritated with that, because I thought, you know, if you're dropping somebody, you've got to pick someone else. You've got to give him at least 2 or 3 games to see if he's any good. Yeah. But he had 1 cap. That was very disappointing.
Games for England that particularly stand out in your memory?
Well, England-France, the one we drew 3-3. England-Scotland, which we won comfortably, as it happened, again, because the late Peter Robbins was playing. I've got a feeling he scored under the post. And at the end of the match, I think John Young on the wing scored, and I was kicking goals from the touchline, you know. It was a big thrill. And so we won the Calcutta Cup and things like that. So that was a marvellous, marvellous year. And England, again, as a player, and as a fullback in particular, you knew what was in front of you. You knew how good the forwards were. You knew how good the centres were. Now, when I played for England in 1960, a lot of the lads had been on the Lions tour in 1959, and there was a pretty consistent team, and they knew their jobs. In the mid-60s, when I played for England again, God, I shouldn't say it, but it was like water through a colander. You know, in the centre, I don't mention any names for kids who are only listening to it, but put it this way, as a fullback, it was damn difficult. Very difficult, because you didn't know where the defence was going to leak, and it leaked. And although we scratched a few wins, it was still hard going. And so, as a fullback, you really knew what was in front of you. That was one of the great strengths. You could communicate to the others. On a Lions tour in 1966, what they call him, Wilson, the Scottish fullback.
Stuart Wilson
and I were looking at there was a team meeting, and New Zealand had the Meads brothers playing for them, and Kelvin Tremaine, and God knows what they were doing. In those days, there was a peal going on, and Meads coming around the end of the lineup. And I remember Wilson looking at me, and he said to the master, he said, "Look, if you buggers don't get your finger out, we're going to have no full backs, we'll all be dead." We're tackling 6'5" forwards coming around at great speed, you know. So it was a different era, and certainly 60 was magnificent as far as I was concerned, because the defence was incredible. So, thereafter, I found that it was very risky, put it that way, you know, and anything could happen. You didn't know where the defence was going to let you down.